Welcome to Digitally Creative. I'm your host, Vincent Ferrari, and joining me this week is nobody. Yeah, it's one of those weeks where it's just going to be me. That's fine, because I have a couple things that I figured we could talk about. Before we get too far into it, just know that next week there will be I will be in Baltimore at the beginning of the week with Kathy, but there will be a guest. Kim and Garrett from Kim and Garrett Make It will be on next week, and I'm recording that. As I record this, it is July 31st. It's Monday night, and tomorrow night I'm recording with Kim and Garrett, so I can drop that episode while I'm in Baltimore. So don't worry, there's things coming. The following week, finally, after what feels like an eternity, the inimitable Bobby Duke will be on this very podcast. So there's good stuff coming. It's tough getting guests lately, but that doesn't mean the podcast goes away. So where have I been? Well, the last time we spoke, I was in the process of moving my shop with the help of Jeremy Spies and Jacob Anguiano, and I could not have done it without them. All the stuff is now in Kathy's basement in Queens. For whatever it's worth, as far as being able to actually function as a shop, it's going to take a little bit of magic to make that basement work as a shop, but I think I can do it. There's a lot down there, and ideally, if I had more time, we would have set the basement up to be a shop before we moved all the stuff into it, because now everything that we need to do to make it a shop is going to require us to move all that stuff around. It's not going to be fun, but we're going to make it happen. In the meantime, I've been doing whatever I can do to keep my sanity, and I've found that it's really hard to keep your sanity when you have all this stuff going on in the background. And it's been stressful. It's been difficult. It's been challenging. All of those things. But I'm not ready to give up. Like, I'm going to keep... I mean, you can see I'm still in my apartment for now. And I'm doing the best I can. And that's... I've come to terms with the fact that that's all I can do. Is just do the best I can and put my best foot forward and just do what I can. Just literally just do what I can, you know, survive and all the stuff like, you know, yeah, I don't even have anything to add. It's just, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. It's been an interesting couple of everything. Everything's just kind of crazy right now. I'm trying to figure out my life a little bit, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not okay with it, but I mean, I'm, you know, when you're in a situation like this, you kind of have a choice, like get okay with it or don't get okay with it, but there's no in between, you know what I mean? So that's what we're going to do. We are just going to move on with our life. So, where have I been? So I moved the shop, the following week. I'm not going to lie, I was in no condition to do pretty much anything. I have never pushed myself at that level physically for that long without a break. And it took its toll. It beat me up really bad. I was just not in any condition to do the show. Just straight up, wasn't in any condition to do the show. And it just so happened that the week after I moved my shop, Kathy's family had rented a house on the Jersey Shore and they invited us down for a couple of days. And I'm going to be honest with you. It was 3 days of just pure recharging and kind of getting myself back together. And when we came back home after the trip down to the shore, I kind of felt like a new person again. I kind of felt like, okay, maybe everything's not going to be okay, but you're sane, you're human, you're back together again. And it was hard to kind of just live in the moment and enjoy the beach and enjoy the sand and, you know, enjoy the time with our nieces. And it was hard. I'm not going to say it was just, you know, shut my brain off and have a good time. Like, I can't do that. I'm not that person. The brain's always going and it goes at weird times. But I forced myself to be in the moment as much as I could. And if you follow my Instagram, you saw that I was doing a lot of drawing while I was down there. I was following the Caleb Gagne technique for illustration on iPad, on Illustrator for the iPad, because I brought my iPad down. I did not bring my laptop because I did not want to be sitting there working, and I'm glad I didn't. I brought my iPad, and I worked on creative stuff, and I had fun, and I watched YouTube videos, and I played Mario Kart with my niece, and we went to the beach, and we went to an arcade, and I got to win her, one of my nieces, I got to win her something from a claw machine, and I won Kathy something from a claw machine, and you know, we collectively, between her brother-in-law and her and I, we won something like 10,000. I'm not even exaggerating, by the way. It was about 10,000 tickets in 2 hours. Like, we crushed that arcade. And the kids walked out so happy. We had an excellent lunch of fresh pizza sitting on the beach. And then it was the most beautiful, perfect beach day afterwards. It was the last day there was epic. It was such a beautiful time. And I came back recharged. It was exactly what I needed. It was the right thing at the right time. And it was amazing. It was amazing. So that's why there was no show. I wasn't here and I wasn't going to record from the shore. And honestly, I just needed to just not live in the real world for a little while. So we're back today. We're back today with the show. And it feels good to be talking to you guys again. What I wanted to talk about today, though, is I wanted to talk about where we find inspiration and where it leads us. Because being down there, and, you know, her family's normal people, right? They're not sitting there, like, looking for their next artistic pursuit or the next thing they're going to make or whatever. And I was just kind of you know, present for family, but at the same time, I was in the mindset of, I brought my iPad, I want to draw something, but I want to do it the Caleb Gagne way. He has a very interesting technique that he's been really good about teaching, and a couple of videos ago, he showed a video of him doing his illustration technique in Adobe Illustrator, and I don't know what it was about that video, but for some reason, after years of watching him do it, it clicked, and I understood it. I don't know why this video clicked the way it did for me, but it did. And, of course, I drew Pokemon, because what else would I draw? But it really clicked for me. And I was like, oh, my God, I can actually do this. So I did a Gengar, and I did a Squirtle, and I did a Jigglypuff. While I was down there, and I would sit there and I would just draw, and I was having so much fun. And, you know, the kids were like, wow, that is so cool. And everybody there was so impressed, like, that I was just sitting there, with my iPad and Apple Pencil and just drawing and doing some cool stuff. And it just felt so good to just be disconnected from the world, where I couldn't involve myself in the day-to-day stuff that was stressing me out, and to just be creating. And the inspiration all came from one video that I happened to watch before I went down there, like the weekend before we went down. Just a random video about, and it wasn't even like a tutorial so much as it was just him showing his process. And it's a process he's shown before, but for some reason, it inspired me because I understood it, right? When you grok something deeply like that, it really does change the way you look at a process. It makes you understand the process better. It makes you more comfortable doing it. And you can see the progression down to the third one, because it was Gengar, then Squirtle, then Jigglypuff. And you can see the progression of how much better Jigglypuff is than the other two, because it was the third one that I did. And the inspiration was a video that, you know, I don't know that I necessarily, it's not a guarantee that I would have watched it. Sometimes I skip videos, you know. I have 700 subscriptions on YouTube. I don't always watch every video from every creator I follow. But for some reason, I decided this one was one worth watching, and I did. And it was fantastic. And I learned so much. And now I feel like I have another tool in my quiver of arrows of things I can offer when people ask me to design something for them. And it's great. Like being able to go from sketch to illustration and be able to create something that looks really, really cool and professional and not have to always try to find clip art to give a client, because that's not always possible and it's not always free, you know? Feels really good. But the inspiration was a video. And I've had a lot of inspiration lately. I've been doing, I'll show you one of them. This is Pika Shroom. So a lot of YouTubers, especially art YouTubers, have been doing these, they've been getting these little wooden mushrooms. And they've been painting them and doing cute characters with them and whatever. And some people have just been painting them like, you know, random mushrooms. Some people have been painting them like Mario mushrooms. Some people have been painting them as little kawaii characters. And some people have been just painting them in the, you know, aesthetic of their color palette or whatever. And when I saw them, I had no plan for them, but I saw everybody was doing them. And I'm like, I'm just going to get some, because they were on Temu for like $2. I'm like, I'm just going to get a bunch of them and figure out what I'm going to do with them one day. Well, one day came last week when I said to, Kathy was sitting on the couch. I said, I know what I'm going to do with the mushrooms. She goes, what? I said, I'm going to do Pokemon inspired mushrooms, and I'm going to call them Poke Shrooms. And she's like, that's a pretty cool idea. So I took inspiration from all the different Pokemon. The most involved one that I did was the Jigglypuff mushroom. And you can see the curl of hair at the top and the ears. That's polymer clay. And the eyes, I don't know how well this is going to focus because it's a little close to the camera, but the eyes are the illustration of Jigglypuff from my experimentation when I was on vacation. I shrunk them down to 4 millimeters each? Yeah, 4 millimeters each, I think they are. And I printed them out on my laser printer on sticker paper, and then I cut them on the Cricut. And they came out great, and they look amazing. So that's another thing that I know I can now do reliably. I can go really, really small and do the detail work. So if I want to just paint a base color and do detail work with stickers and prints and just put varnish over the top of it to seal it and lock it on, I can do that. And all of this because I watched a bunch of YouTubers taking these wooden mushrooms and doing cool things with them. And now I'm doing cool things with mine. The inspiration for the polymer clay was watching Adam from North of the Border. And if you're not watching his videos, by the way, his videos are amazing. He makes realistic, creepy, nerdy things. So he made, just recently, a realistic Barney. And I promise you it's as horrifying as it sounds. It's an absolutely amazing video. But he does everything out of polymer clay. And I've learned so much about how to do stuff with polymer clay and how to attach polymer clay to these little wood mushrooms and make it actually stay. You know, I learned from watching him. Again, the inspiration came in places I didn't expect it to come from. And my favorite thing about these mushrooms is that they're kind of the way I envisioned them. Like, this is the Squirtle one, and he's got a little, on his back. He's got a little shell that's made of polymer clay. And also, I've been learning about baking polymer clay to get it to harden because, I mean, the instructions say one thing, but if you do exactly what the instructions say, I hate to say it, but it doesn't always work. But I got it to work. I figured it out. By the time I did the Jigglypuff mushroom, the polymer clay was doing exactly what it was supposed to do, and I was very happy with the results. All this has been because inspiration struck, and I guess I get a lot of inspiration from YouTubers. I get a lot of inspiration from other makers. I get a lot of inspiration from Instagram, you know, scrolling through Instagram, just seeing what other people are making, just seeing. Sometimes I'll see a picture and I'll be like, I really want to do that. Or I hate to use the word imitate because it sounds like copying, but it kind of is. Like, we all do it to some extent, especially in the art world. Like you imitate what somebody does to learn how they do it, and then you branch out and start doing stuff on your own. And that was kind of where I was at. And I'm scrolling through Instagram, getting ideas, and like I'm starting to feel inspired to do more things. So not having my wood shop has been a blessing and a curse, because obviously that was my main source of income, and right now it's on ice. But at the same time, I still have that urge to make stuff and create and be artistic and have an artistic expression, an artistic outlet, so to speak. And I'm finding what it is little by little. And it's making little things like this and making jewelry and, you know, finishing art pieces that I had worked on but never actually finished. In fact, probably not tonight, probably tomorrow before I record or during the day, I have a Hamza that I've been working on. If you remember, I did one that was on Instagram that I sold a little while ago. I'm doing another Hamza, but this one's going to look like it's stained glass, and it's beautiful, but it's not done. And I want to finish it so I can finally call it done and, you know, paint the lines around it so it looks like leading and sell it, you know, make a little money, because I keep saying it, money's tight, but I don't want a handout. I want to be able to provide a service or some kind of product or something to somebody that they find valuable enough that they think it's worth paying for. To me, that's much more important than just having money. I mean, I could beg for money. I probably will hit the point at some point where it's going to be like, I'm going to have to start begging for money. I'm still applying for jobs, and it doesn't seem like anybody wants to hire a 47-year-old guy who has 25 years in IT. What a shock. But I'd rather provide my art and hopefully people like it enough to buy it. And that, to me, is a double reward, because obviously I'm making the money from it, and I'm also taking in that validation. Because whether we admit it or not, external validation is pretty important. You see a lot of people say, oh, your validation has to come from inside. No. Yes, it does. But the reality is external validation is always worth more than your own, you know, reassuring copium voice inside your own head. I mean, I'll tell myself a million times things are going to be okay. But, you know, every once in a while, something externally happens that says, yeah, it's probably going to be okay. That means a hell of a lot more than the voice inside my own head. It just does. So, but yeah, the inspiration bug. I'm always curious where the inspiration bug strikes. If you listen to the interviews that I do on this show, you'll see I ask that a lot, particularly of artists, because I always want to know where inspiration comes from. You know, a lot of people, especially artists, will tell you, you know, they like to take walks in nature, or they go on a hike, or they go on a run, or, you know, wander the woods or walk along the beach or take a walk on a boardwalk or something. And what I find interesting about a lot of artists is that even if they're taking a walk like on a boardwalk, they're not inspired to make beach things. It's just the experience of not being in front of your computer, not being in your studio, not being in front of your art supplies or all that. The inspiration isn't direct. It's more giving your mind the space to work. And I'm finding that I didn't understand that before, but the trip down to the Jersey Shore really, really solidified it for me, because I was isolated from all the things that would stop me from being inspired and from just doing something creative because I wanted to. And, you know, there was nobody to buy those pictures of the Pokemon that I made. It was just, I was doing it because I wanted to, because I wanted to learn the technique. I wanted to get good at it. I wanted the detail to get right. I wanted to get comfortable with the shadows and the detail lines and the colors and all that stuff. That's what I was aiming for. That was the goal. But I found all that because being down there and away from all the distractions and all that, that's usually up here, allowed my mind to just relax and just go and just do the things, right? And I'm starting to understand how a walk in the woods, when they say it's inspirational, an artist says, you know, a walk in the woods or a walk on the beach inspires them, they're not saying that they're inspired to make beach stuff. They're not saying they're inspired to make stuff and paint pine cones. They're saying that they're inspired because their mind gets to open up and do the things that they're cramping their mind with otherwise. You know, they're disconnecting enough from the world that their mind can fill those empty spaces with creativity. Because I guess if you go into it with a creative mindset, that's what happens. And I'm finally starting to understand that. I don't know why it took me this long, by the way. I know this is probably such basic stuff for so many of you. And you're hearing this and going, yeah, of course, dumbass. And rightfully so, right? Like, I should have known this. I should have understood this. But I guess I didn't understand it as well because it had never happened to me. And now that it's happened, I'm I'm inspired by what inspired me. Today, in fact, I'll give you a good example. So was it yesterday? No, today. I had a voucher at Michael's, and I bought these Thomas Kinkade Disney coloring books for adults. They're like really super detailed coloring books. They are coloring page versions of Thomas Kinkade's Disney paintings that were available in the galleries. And I want to color them in, but I knew I have really nice colored pencils. I have very nice alcohol markers. I can totally do it. But I've been meaning, and I just never got around to it, I've been meaning to get white gel pens. And today I watched a video from Sarah. I think her YouTube channel is So Crafty. And she reviewed some white gel pens from Temu. And she showed the standards, which are jelly roll white gel pens. And Michael's sells them. And I had a $5 voucher from Michael's. And they were $3.99. It was perfect. So I today got a set of free white gel pens. So that's another thing I'm going to be working on. And in fact, next week while I'm in Baltimore, there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to bring one of the coloring books with me and my alcohol markers and my colored pencils and my liners and my gel pens. And, you know, if it's a matter of just needing some time to just sit there, zone out, be creative and be quiet for a little while, well, I'll have something to do that with. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I don't know how much time I'm going to have for that in Baltimore. I will definitely have it for the one day that we're going to be in Philly right afterwards because I'm going to need to occupy my time. And I'll probably take all that stuff to a Starbucks and just sit there and wait for Kathy to be done at work because that's what I do. I sit at Starbucks like a hippie bum. But yeah, I hope all... If you're suffering from some kind of creative block, I think I'm much more open now to this idea of taking everything out of your mind and just getting out of the house or getting out of your current situation and going someplace that you can allow yourself to be creative. You can allow your mind to kind of expand to fill the gaps that are currently taken up with all the worries and cares of your daily life, and find that space to be a little bit creative and just go for it. Just do something creative for the sake of doing something creative. I know that, you know, and I'm guilty of this more than anyone I know. I'm always looking for an angle on, is this a product I can sell? Is this a product I can sell? Well, maybe what I need to stop doing is exactly that. And I think that you need to give yourself permission to do the things you love, even if that doesn't mean the production of an end product. And I'm very surprised that I've been able to do that. And maybe it's just because I don't have a choice right now. I'm kind of in a spot where it's like, well, you don't have a shop right now. So if you're going to do creative projects, now's your time to do them. And don't get me wrong, if somebody offered me money for the pokey shrooms, I'd sell them in a minute. I'm not going to sit here and go, nah, they're not for sale. And of course they're for sale. Everything's for sale. Right. If you like my Pikachu shirt, it's for sale. I will make you one. Don't worry about it. Hit me up. But yeah, give yourself a chance to explore your creative side, to be inspired, to open your mind, have that mind opening experience. Because I think that once you have it and you understand what it is and what it's like to have one, you're going to want to have another one real soon. And I'm very excited about, you know, just every once in a while, I just go in my craft room and I look around. I'm like, what can I do with that? What can I do with that? And this wasn't a thing that I did. It was more of a, what product could I make? Now it's more of a, what can I do with that? Like, I should be able to do something really cool with that. So find a way to do something cool. Find a way to give your mind some space to, you know, expand, to create, to put itself out there. And I think you're going to be really, really happy with what you come up with. I think you're going to be surprised at how far your mind will wander if you don't keep calling it back to think about your next bill that you have to pay. And that's not to say don't pay your bills. It's not to say don't do the important life stuff. But if you're a creative person, you also have to allow yourself some time to be a creative person. That's just as important. I want to take a second to thank the people that support this show financially, because we've gotten a bunch of new people that support this show financially over the last couple of weeks. And honestly, it blows my mind because, yeah, it never gets old for me when I get a notification that somebody has started supporting the show financially. Never gets old. It never stops being cool to me that you guys love what I do enough to support the show. And I know I felt bad taking some time off, but I also knew that taking a little time off from the show in the middle of a whole bunch of life crap means I'm going to put on a better show when I come back. If I just slogged through the show, I could put a show out every week, right? I could put a complete garbage show out every single week with a smile on my face and say, hey guys, look, I just did a show for you. Aren't you grateful? But that's not me. I want to do a good show, even if it's just me having a chat with you guys and discussing something interesting or something that happened or a story or something like that. I want the show to have some value. And if it means that maybe I have to take breaks more than I've taken breaks in the past because it's just me doing it, then that's what it's going to be. But I do appreciate that you guys hang in there with me. And I appreciate the support. And I appreciate all the people that reached out after the last episode. It means the world to me. I responded to every one of you when I could. If I didn't respond to you, I'm very sorry. I think I got everyone. But if I didn't get you and you said something, just know that I heard everything. I internalized everything. And it's been magnificent, the support you guys have offered me. And I appreciate it tremendously. The financial supporters of this podcast include Matthew Serio from Artigiano Serio, Big Al Schultz of New York Woodworks, who I should say, I asked Al on Friday if he would be my best man at my wedding, and he said yes. So Big Al Schultz of New York Woodworks is now best man Al Schultz from New York Woodworks, and I'm sure that surprises precisely no one. New on the list this week, Scott Oram from Dad It Yourself DIY. Longtime supporter of Because We Make and new supporter of Digitally Creative. So welcome aboard, Scott, and thank you. Ed Swanson from Ed's Clocks and More. Nick Birchtold from Birchtold Design Build is now on the terabyte tier. He moved up a tier. That blows my mind, too. He was already on board, and now he's on board even more. So thank you so much, Nick. Tori Decker from Tori Did It. Jake Drews of Make With Jake. Megan Chris from Onyx Designs Woodwork, Christian Neary of Warren Works, Ken Madden from Mad K Studios, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, Dean Duplantis, Chris Raley of Route 9 Signs, another new supporter to the show on the Gigabyte tier. And Chris, it means the world to me that Chris is supporting the show, because when it comes to people who inspire the hell out of me as an artist, Chris has been inspiration since long before that man was ever on this podcast. He is one of the most talented people I know, and also one of the coolest friends that I have, and I am honored to call the man a friend. Jeff Stein, a.k.a. A Weird Guy, Kim and Garrett of Kim and Garrett Make It, who, as I said, will be on in a couple of, will be on next week. Next week's episode will be Kim and Garrett. Rory Langefeld of RLO Woodworks and DIY, Robert J. Keller, Brian Arsenault, the Seven Hills Maker, Dave Bauer of Dave Bauer Art, Donald LeBlanc of Fun With Woodworking, Ross Cave, Jeremy Spies, Grant Alexander from the Clamp Podcast, Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, and Billy Poulton of Poulton Projects. Thank you so much to everyone that supports this show financially. It means the world to me, especially now. And for the people that moved up a tier or new supporters, thank you. Thank you so, so, so much. I appreciate it. I am grateful to each and every one of you at any level that you can support, including leaving a review, sharing the show. My YouTube watch numbers are through the ceiling, so you bastards are really crushing it. And I didn't expect so many people, but I have gotten so many screenshots go, yeah, I have you on as background noise in the shop today, and it's the whole playlist is on the screen. I'm like, oh man, that is so awesome. So thank you so much. I mean, you guys, I put out the call and you guys answered, and it means the world to me. So thank you so much for that. That is just amazing. My thing of the week this week, I got a gift. I've been meaning to talk about this, but I haven't done a show since I got it. I got a gift from Kevin Mahaffey of Keebler Woodworks, who was a guest on the show a couple of months ago. And he gave me this little Groot with this beautiful, and I mean beautiful. Hold on, let me see if I can get it. Yeah, I should focus now. Look at this pen. Look at this pen.
2 hours later.
Yeah, like I was saying, look at this pen. Look at it. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it is, of course, it's purple, white, and black. I mean, it's almost as if he did those colors intentionally to match the colors of the podcast. But it is absolutely stunning. I could not believe it when I opened up the box and I got this is just a work of art. I absolutely love it. So Baby Groot sits over here holding that pen for me. So that is my thing of the week. Kevin is a wonderful dude, a true mensch, as they say. And you should definitely go follow him if you're not. Keebler Woodworks on Instagram. Definitely a follow you need to make ASAP. And if you weren't following him after his episode here, I mean, geez, what are you guys even doing with your life? Go follow the man. He's worth a follow. I think that's going to do it for this week. This episode should be out at normal time, which is good. And like I said, Kim and Garrett, and then Bobby Duke. So there's good episodes coming. I got great guests. I'm hoping to have a couple more guests lined up. I'd like to have the whole month of August booked out. And I just realized that by the time this episode drops, we will be very close to the one-year anniversary of the end of Because We Make. Isn't that funny? Been doing Digitally Creative for about a year. 1 year of episodes of this podcast. I like it. Almost a year. I mean, I started this in October, so. But 1 year since Because We Make was over. Any of you guys actually miss it? You like the new show? You miss the old show? Anything from the old show you wish I'd do on the new show? I actually put a guest feeler out today for a guest that's really, really cool. And he's not a maker, but he is a YouTube content creator. And he's got potential to be a very fun guest and a very fun episode. And also, based on popular demand, I think I'm going to try to get John Reddick from Gen X Grown Up back on again. Because, man, you guys loved him and have been asking me when I was going to have him on again. So I think I'm going to have to hook up with John again and have a second run with him on the show, because it's always fun to talk to him anyway. But have another little nostalgia trip. Maybe we'll confine the show to a couple more themes rather than just chatting about random stuff this time. So, yeah, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for sticking around. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching, for supporting the show financially, writing reviews, for sharing it on YouTube, watching the playlist on YouTube to get my watch hours up, all the stuff you guys do. I couldn't do the show without you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I will be back again next week and the week after and the week after that and the week after that. And until then, have a great week. I'll talk to you guys.